Graduated, like I said, last year, and I'm working on my PhD now. So here's a little about me. I'm the son of Donat E. Grant, emphasis on the E. I just got my Bachelor's of Science in Computer Engineering from the University of Florida. Yes, and then after that, I did an internship in IBM Almaden in San Jose, and I got a patent there, a patent that's pending right now, and I'm doing my PhD, like I said, in computer science. So I'm doing a lot of stuff, and it's awesome, and I'm working hard, but everything I've done up to this point, it is clearly the work of God in the work. And it's easy to say that, but let me kind of prove it to you. So I pulled out the vaults, one of my transcripts, one of my semesters, and I'm doing great stuff, but yeah, that there's some consonants in there, and yeah, doesn't feel, I think I got that trait from my dad, maybe, the bad semester, I don't know. But he graduated, I'm doing well, I don't know. But it's clearly the work of God, and if I were to be labeled as a type of student, I'd definitely be a B student. In all my years since I went to Florida Bible, like those guys, I never once got an all A's or all S's or all fives or any of those things. Not once. Never got a perfect thing. And yeah, that's pretty much where it hovered around, more or less. But God's good anyway. And there's classes I took, like this, look at that, data mining, microprocessor, application. There's stuff I took that I have no memory of. It just says it on the transcript. And there's stuff I took, like chemistry, I have horrible memories and nightmares of. And there's other things I thought I would do terrible in and I end up doing great in. And so it's clear there's only one factor in there that kind of brought me through that and where I am. That's the grace of God. Yeah, I want to read Philippians 1:6 to you, and for all the graduates, people just started middle school, because middle school is way harder than elementary school, so. But remember that, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the end. And in Psalm 75, promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the north, but God judgeth, he putteth down, and setteth another up. So people are looking for jobs right now. Meditate on this verse. And those who didn't graduate or aren't up here and probably should be or maybe a year behind, don't go crazy. Stuff happens. Like God is still in there. In fact, you really shouldn't, even if things go bad, you really shouldn't go crazy like that, because it shows a lack of faith in the only person who has control of your situation. All right, like I don't know if you guys remember, Columbus was coming, the Nina, the Pinta, and the good job. We have many graduates, and the Santa Maria are coming over, and it was a long trip, much longer than they thought. They're about to throw Columbus over because they didn't have faith that they really were going to a new land. They're going to throw him over a couple times, but it's important to know that our God is not like Columbus. You know, our God is not like George Bush, and he's not Barack Obama. Like, we have a God that's greater than all that. He cannot lie, and everything he says can and will come to pass. And so one more verse for the graduates. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings, and in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this joyous time that we get to celebrate the graduation and moving on and a time we can look back and see that your hand was in your work. You brought me here, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray for the parents who are behind these kids, pushing them in discipline, Lord God. Just encourage them to just be godly, Lord Jesus, and to hear from you, Lord Jesus. And I pray today that in the message, ears will be open, and that your word may speak, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. So I just got married, like I said, another type of graduation from bachelorhood. Hitch. There's my lovely wife. She's now Dr. Venetia Harris, who I love very much. So we just came, we went to a resort in Jamaica. I'll save all names for now for legal reasons or something. But it was this place, it was beautiful, but it was this gated, like compound type thing in the middle of nowhere. And so it was all inclusive, you get to eat and stuff, and it was beautiful. I have great pictures from it. So the first day we were there, the first full day we were there, so we got up, went to go in the pool, and I stepped in the pool, and I stepped on a broken piece of tile. So it's kind of gory, but it's kind of cut into my heel. And so I was like, I think I'm bleeding. So I came out of the pool, was hopping towards the pool, guys. The trail of blood is pretty nasty. It's like a movie or something. So I ended up having to go to the nurse, and the nurse called a doctor from a neighboring city to come over. She got her needle in and syringe out and was poking in there and gave me 3 stitches in my heel. So this is the first day of the honeymoon. So this so it put a real damper on the whole thing, because I'm limping around everywhere. I can't go play sports or anything like that. And it rained. Some big monsoon Jamaica rains came in and just kind of flooded the place. And some other things happened just to make it just seemed like there was just a big damper over the whole thing. So like I said, it was a compound. So we tried to make friends with this one lady, to get us some patties from the outside. And so she got us, we gave her some money. She gave us some nice juicy patties and we had them, and she was an awesome lady. So the last day we were there, she said she felt from the spirit that she wanted to pray for us. So I'm like, sweet, yeah, pray for us. And one of the encouraging words she says is that you are in the perfect will of God. I'm like, that is so encouraging to hear that. She said that you are in God's perfect will. Not just the will, you're in his perfect will right now. Like, no matter what's going on, all these cuts, the stitches are still in my foot, you are in God's perfect will. And that's such encouraging words at the right time. And some of you might be saying, oh, there's nobody who's giving me patties and telling me encouraging words in my life, or I'm struggling in chemistry and I don't think I'm gonna be able to graduate, or nobody at this new school, this new middle school I'm going to, is gonna wanna be my friend. I'm gonna have to try and fit in, or I've been working at this job for 5 years and there's still no promotion in sight. And things just don't seem to be going your way, and you don't seem to be in the perfect will of God. And so graduates, so in order to hear from God, graduates and everybody, it's absolutely critical that you establish a personal relationship with him. It's absolutely critical. And that's done, this close and personal relationship with him is done through quiet time. And that's really what I want to emphasize, especially to the people who are going into middle school, because that was my worst 3 years. So it was hard, so I'm going to emphasize that. But the quiet time is what's going to bring you through that. Quiet time is when you get a chance to hear from God about your future. It's a time when he lets you know whether you are or are not in the will of God, whether you are supposed to be doing something else, whether you're really going the right way. And it's a time you get to establish a relationship with your Creator. And if for those of you who've never had a difficult time like me and never needed an encouraging word at the right time, there's gonna come a time where you're gonna need a word from somebody. And there may not be somebody there. And quiet time gives you that opportunity. Spending quiet time with God is gonna give you the opportunity to hear the words of your Savior. In Psalms 139, verse 17 says, your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. Another version says, how precious. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sands, supposed to be the sands of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. This is coming from David, who had to spend time, kind of forced to spend time with his Savior. And he recognized the rarity and the preciousness of his thought. He called them rare, but then he called them as numerous as the sands. It just says how precious it is. And this is the type of attitude we need to have towards God's thoughts. This is the type of attitude we need to have through our quiet time. And David, they called David a man after God's own heart. It wasn't because he was just like God. It wasn't after in that sense. It was after because he was seeking after God. He was trying to be like God. He wanted to know God from the inside out. That's that type of relationship he sought out with him. He realized the power of the time spent with his Creator. All right, so quiet time. There are 3 things to seek after through quiet time. There's just 3 things I kind of outline. The first is peace, and the second is revelation, and the third is intercession. So I put a definition, what I mean by peace, which is the remembrance of what God has done for you and provided, and provide, restore the comfort in his will. He'll restore the comfort. He'll restore your comfort through his will. And for revelation, I have finding out who you are, like the song says, and where you need to go. And for intercession, it's an opportunity to pray for God, pray for people about situations. Some of your friends may be going through something, and you need to pray for them. And then just sometimes you just need to pray for yourself. You need to intercede, like, through the situation. You just need to say, God, you need to step in here and intercede and do something about this. So I'm saying all this, this quiet time stuff in the context of Hebrews 11:6. It says that if anyone comes to God, he must believe that he exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. So let me just read it again. All those who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in your quiet time, it's not for nothing. If you push through that quiet time, it may take some discipline, like my dad was saying earlier, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right, so whatever you call it, quiet time, the secret place, your prayer closet, seeking time, the throne room. I'm going to look at some examples in the Bible about times where this occurred, this secret place occurred. So the first one's in Mark 35. And Jesus departed and went into a solitary place to pray in the morning. So if you can turn, if you have your Bibles, there's going to be a couple more scriptures. And if you're good at that, if you have the sword drill, go ahead and flip through it with me. Because this is after everything was looking great. Just before this, Jesus got his disciples. He healed Peter's mother. He cast out some demons. He did all these awesome things in the city. And then one morning, they just couldn't find him because he went off to pray. And why would Jesus need to do this? Everything's going great. Didn't seem like a real need to go seek God and pray because everything's going great. God's already, you can tell God's hand was in the whole situation. Why did God need to do that? And so when they went to him, I think in verse 38, if you read verse 38, it says that we can't stay here. We need to go somewhere else. We need to go to the next city. And if you see, after this only happened after Jesus was seeking God, seeking his will. So did you guys catch that? So Jesus was seeking after direction. He said, Lord, all this is going great, but is it your will for me to stay here? And through his solitary and his quiet time, he said, he found from God that, no, you need to keep going. So he was seeking after direction. And that's part of the revelation, part of that definition. It was revealed to Jesus that you need to move on. That's awesome. And also, the people of Israel had many, many, many times appointed by God, or he'll slay them, or they have to be stoned. Times where they had to seek God. And I think the most famous one is the Sabbath. It's a time for the Israelites to be refreshed and to remember what God has done for them. So in Exodus 31, verse 17, God said, it was a sign between me, God, and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. So he was rested, he was refreshed. That's this peace I'm talking about through things like the Sabbath. Like taking time away from your work just to stop and recognize, remember what God's done to kind of recharge your spiritual battery, which will in turn recharge your regular batteries, your heart, your mind, your soul. And in Mark, and just to prove that, Mark 2:27 says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So Jesus put these times like the Sabbath in order to refresh us. We don't have to do this. We don't have to come to church. This is, we don't have to, like, wake up early and be disciplined to do things like seek the Lord or even, you know, just pray with our wife. We do this because it's beneficial to us. So the next question is, how do you enter into quiet time, or where is the secret place? So a time where you rest and just kind of soak and bask in the presence of God. So let me tell you a story about, we're in this compound. We had fun. We had a great time. I don't want to make it seem like it's bad. We had a great time. But so we went, when my foot was a little healed up later, we went into a steam room. They had a spa, a steam room, and a pool. So we went into the steam room. Like, oh, cool, steam room. I seen it on TV. So we step in, go in. It is hot. Steam is hot. It's not... It's not like the clouds and it doesn't look fluffy. It's hot. It feels like your skin is burning and stuff. So I'm stepping in like, oh, We had to kind of fan some cold air in before we got in. And there's some ladies there saying, hey, go in, it's good for you. Go in, it's good for you. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll try. So we went in. Venetia had the idea to stay real low because the warm air rises in the cool air. So we're in the steam room real low, ducking in. And then afterwards, we're in there soaking in, sweating, sweat pouring down. I guess our pores were opening and rejuvenating, or I don't know what it is. But so after that, we came out, felt the cool air, and they said, hey, you need to go in the cool water now. So we stepped in the cool water, and it was cold. But they said it closed your pores. After opening them and rejuvenating them, it closed your pores. And this is the type of time. This is an example of quiet time. You need to step in there. Maybe hard for you to kind of get up in the morning, and you may need to stay low and somehow stay low. But it's a time where you get to open your pores, open your spirit, open your worries, and get it out. Let all the impurities come out. So for me, some people may turn on some worship music, some Planet Shaker, some Israel New Breed, and just trying to let them kind of stir you up, and that's perfectly fine. Turn on the music and just say, Lord, what was the song we sang again? I know who I am. I know who I am. I won't sing any more than that, but that's maybe one thing you want to do in your quiet time. You may want to just read, just open the Bible to some random page and read the word. Say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, and speak to me through your word and open it. I know I was talking to Mrs. Hunter one time, and she does the same thing that I do. Like, if you're going through something, say, Lord, I need to hear from you, and open your Bible to a random page, and God speaks to you every time. Am I right? She can testify. That's just an example. You can just go walk out into your neighborhood, into the trees. Just take a walk around your block, just praising God and saying, Lord, just come visit me. Just come be with me. Welcome. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Just come be with me. Just by yourself in a solitary time where you get to meet with your Savior. And you may want to get a journal. So I have a journal that if you hear things from God, it's a good idea to write it down. Or you think you hear things from God or promises, whatever, write it down. And then so you can always go back and read and say, man, I was going through this, and this happened, and God said this, and it came to pass. It just helps you prove God's existence. Sometimes you just need to hear that. And sometimes you may want to just go in your prayer closet and take that test you just got where you got a 7% and say, Lord, single digits, Lord, this is not going to work. And you may want to hold that up and just... and cry out to God, because God's going to hear your cries. A broken and contrite heart that God does not refuse. And so this is what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, going to bedtime Baptist and pastor sheets, or you're in the covers thing, kind of praying and sleeping. I'm talking about seeking after God, setting time apart to just seek after God's face. You can't call your bed the Word and say, oh, I'm going to be lying in the Word today. That doesn't work. That doesn't work either. I'm not talking about just a devotional where you kind of read and outline. I'm talking about seeking after God. It's a two-way conversation where you get to speak to Him and wait for Him to listen, expecting Him to speak back. So in Psalms 25, it's really nice. I want to read first from the Message Bible. It says, friendship is for God worshipers. They are the ones He confides in. And the King James Version says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him and will show them His covenant. And He will show them His covenant. And also the Amplified Version says, the secret of the Lord have they who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant and reveal to them its meaning. Yeah, see this? So it's not only seeking with God, it's having a fear of God. Okay, I'll get to that. So how important is it that I meet with God? You really don't have to. You can stay at bedtime Baptist with Pastor Sheets, but you really have to look at it as a privilege. It's an awesome privilege to... you just got that. But it's an awesome privilege to... to be able to speak with the creator of the universe for your 7% or your minuscule need. So, okay, back to that fear thing. Let's go to Exodus 19, verse 9. I'm going to read it real quick. And if you want to flip through the Bible, just kind of see, get context, that'll help. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For in the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people in Mount Sinai. So God said this to Moses right before Moses spoke with his father-in-law, I think Jethro, and he said, Moses was dealing with all the needs of the people. The people would come in, and he would see their case, like somebody stole my goat or something like that. And he would meet every need, and they would go through, and he would do this all the time. So Moses' father-in-law said, You can't do this. This is going to burn you out. So just to give you context, his father-in-law told him, You need to just delegate this off to people and give the people some laws that they can abide by, and it's things they know. So then after that, God is about to give the Ten Commandments. And in verse 20, which one? Go to the one before. All right. So this is the one I was supposed to read. And the Lord said to Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that people may hear thee when I speak. Oh, I did read that. Oh, you switched it already. Sorry. And in verse 20, go back. Sorry. And the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise and the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And the people saw it, and they were moved and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. So before, if you saw that, God said, Let these people come to this mountain and hear me when I speak. He told Moses to set up the boundary around the mountain. Don't let anybody come up, but let people stay right there. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to speak the Ten Commandments to you. And I'm going to speak it so loud that the people are going to hear, and they're going to be afraid, and they're going to never sin again. That's what God said before. So when God's in there, he's speaking, the people just get scared, and they just start to, I don't want to be anywhere close to this. And they start to kind of back away from the Lord and back away from hearing the opportunity to hear God speak like he spoke to Moses. So this is an unholy fear that they have. Auntie Grace with the kids puts a holy fear in them. But this, if you're backing away like this, that's an unholy fear. So let's go to the next part, 1 Kings. Oh, she's my Sunday school teacher, so I know the holy fear. But in 1 Kings, if you can read it, he says, And he said, Go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passes by. Let me just give you a context right here. So this is Elijah. This is just after Elijah had the battle with the prophets of Baal. And by miracle, God lit an altar that was covered with water. And so they had the prophets of Baal and Elijah alone had this battle. And they said, okay, let's see whose God is real. And whoever's God lights this thing on fire will win. So the prophets of Baal were doing their chants, cutting themselves and doing these sacrifices to try and light this thing on fire. For days and days, it doesn't happen. So Elijah's laughing at them, and then he says, It's my turn. So they say, All right, do it. They cover it with water and give them this big disadvantage, and then God just comes, lightning strikes, and the thing lights on fire. Elijah wins. God showed strong. Elijah goes and slays all the prophets of Baal like he said he would. And so the queen of this area, Jezebel, heard about this and was angry at him. And so even after all this, Elijah just gets scared. He's like, she's going to kill me. This queen Jezebel's going to kill me. So she runs, and he's really feeling down. And so God just ministers to him. And this is, we're kind of interrupting God, ministering to him. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break into pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah just saw the miracle of God, and then he started kind of disbelieving, distrusting God. He started worrying. Everything wasn't going right around him, so he started worrying. And then he was in this funk, and God needed to show him that he was in control. So he tears apart the mountain, sends a fire, sends an earthquake. And then he comes and says, that wasn't even me speaking to you. I can do all these great things like I did with the lightning striking and lighting the altar, but I can also speak to you in a still small voice. But the interesting part that I want to point out is, after God spoke in that still small voice, Elijah wasn't running from this. Elijah came and said, all right, Lord, I'm here. And God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And they began a dialogue. So this is a big difference from the children of Israel, who when they saw the earthquakes shaking, they started backing away. I can't be near that. But Elijah pressed forward and said, Lord, I know you're here. I know you can minister to me. And he pressed forward into the presence of God. So what if the children of Israel actually stayed there and listened to the Lord tell them the word, to hear the commandments from God himself? It would have changed a whole lot. And Elijah, which is awesome, wanted to hear from the Lord. And that's why Jesus died. When Jesus died, the veil was torn in half, and to symbolize that we have access to the Father, that we don't need a priest, we don't need Moses, we don't need anybody, Buddha, and anybody, but we as humans have the opportunity to approach the creator of the universe. It's such an awesome thought. So, all right, not yet. Tell me what this is. Anybody know what this is? Da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da. You know? That's very good. Yeah, that was good. My rendition of it was not good. Like, it's can you play it? Can you play it, Cameron? That's good. I know you wanted more, but you can get the MP3 later. But there's a big difference. Even though he's able to tell from what I said what song it was, there's a big difference between me singing it, my da-da-da-da, and that. That kind of mirrors what, imagine the people hearing from Moses what God said, and Elijah stepping into the mountain of God where he is and hearing directly his voice. What he can hear. Isn't that awesome? There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between hearing from somebody in the street, hey, God loves you. You may need to hear that, and it may be your word at that time, but if you're in the quiet time of God, and God tells you, listen, I love you, and you hear that from him, there's a big difference. And God says in Revelations 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come with him. I will come into him and sup with him, and he into me. This is the type of relationship that God wants to have with us. He's saying it here. He's saying he wants to come in. He's at your door knocking, saying, come. I want to eat with you. I want to have dinner with you. You know, those friends just kind of come over, don't really ask about it. God's saying, hey, I want to be that friend who just kind of shows up and says, let's have dinner, let's eat something. I brought the chicken, let's eat something. And Paul says that it's not by, Paul knew, he was taught under the feet of Gamaliel when he learned a whole bunch. He had this huge head knowledge, and it wasn't until he was struck down by God and heard Jesus' voice and experienced him that he really understood that who God was. And it may take an eye-opening experience or just a word directly from God for you to say, Lord, you're real. You may need to just taste and see instead of having somebody kind of mix up your food for you and hear from God. And yeah, this is the type of relationship that God wants to have with us. And so let me tell you another story. So in about middle school time, I used to come home before, probably elementary school, I used to come home before my brothers and sisters, and I used to turn on TV, watch the news, and hear all these bad things on TV, watching too much TV, and cartoons and stuff too, but I would just hear all this bad news. So I'd be in there, I would lock up the door, chain the door and all the locks, and then I would eat popcorn and watch TV, and then I'd go sleep in front of the door. And then, but then my brother and sister would come, and I don't know where they are. They would come and knock at the door. Yeah, my sister's shaking her fist at me. They would come and knock at the door, but I was sleeping. I didn't hear them. And I don't know how many times, but they'd have to stay outside and either go to the neighbor's house or call my mom. I'd lock them out of the door because I was afraid that people from the news or some escaped prisoner in Jacksonville would come down to South Florida and come in. So I was afraid of that. So they would get locked out of the house. I don't know what, they'd have to pee in the bushes outside because they had to use the bathroom so bad. It's kind of embarrassing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, sleeping at the door, I was waiting. I was trying to. I had a bat in my hand and was sleeping at the door. But I just didn't hear the knock. And we have an opportunity to wake up and hear the knocking of God at the door. And we have an opportunity to invite him into our lives and hear the secrets that he has for us. So graduates, there's never going to be a degree. There's never going to be an award. There's never going to be a scholarship that's going to pass the things that God has for you. It's going to be greater than what God has for you. And there's secrets that only God has for you. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 46 through 48, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of all Babylon, says, confessed after Daniel was seeking God and told him his dream. He said, "Your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou could revealest this secret unto me." Let's read Psalms 31, verse 19 through 20. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide in them the secrets of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." He's talking about secrets. David is talking about secrets that God has hidden up from the pride of man. God's waiting for you to come and listen to these secrets that he has. All right, let's have all heads bowed and eyes closed. So imagine you're shipwrecked at sea. You're in a boat, one fishing boat, and you get in a life raft and you're paddling. You're just paddling some direction. It's cloudy, you can't see the stars, but you're just paddling. And for days, the sun comes and goes. The sun scorches your skin, so you're sunburnt, and you're still trying to paddle to find some sort of land because you want to be saved. And so imagine after paddling for days, you're dying. You can feel yourself dying, and you look up and you can see at night there's a lighthouse kind of far away. So you just start get a little extra oomph to paddle a little bit more towards the lighthouse. So you're going closer and closer, and there's a thing that happens that when you're that close, you get this deep regret that I'm about to be saved. Even though I'm going through this, even though it's going to be great for me to be saved, there's a regret that you have, like, man, is this going to be over? There's something kind of pulling you back into this boat. And for example, in the movie Castaway, Chuck Nolan, which is Tom Hanks' character, so after he was saved and back on land finally, he gets this regret about him. I don't know the psychological term for it. I don't know if there is one, but he gets this regret, like, man, I might have been better back on this island. And the children of Israel are probably, this is probably why they left. They're probably listening to, they heard the beginning of the Ten Commandments and like, man, if I hear this whole thing from God, and there may be a chance I may not sin again. There may be a chance that, yeah, I'll be so scared I'll never sin again. Do I really want to hear this and change my life that much? And so they start backing up. They have this regret, and they start backing up. And so some of you have the urge to just back away from what's going to save you. But God is calling you from a holy mountain, or not from a holy mountain, or not from the top of a lighthouse. God says he's closer than a brother. He's standing outside. He's knocking on your door, and he's waiting for you to answer. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed, if you feel there's a knocking at your door, if you feel that you're missing this relationship with our creator of the universe, this intimate time where you can soak in, if you've never experienced that, then you want help. If you want help with that, I think just come to the front after the service, and we'll have some people praying with you. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because you're so great and powerful. Then again, you're so kind and gentle. You come to us in a small voice after you melt the mountains, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just offer up to you our whole lives, all our degrees, all our awards, our diplomas, Lord Jesus, because you deserve it, Lord God. And we know in you we can find rest. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for every heart here that's being touched, Lord God. I pray for your spirit that's here, Lord God, working in the lives of everybody. I pray, Jesus, you may just go in and change your lives, Lord Jesus. Let people taste and see. Let us taste and see your goodness. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One, two, three. Amen.
Thank you, Kristen. Kristen said